Welcome back, guys, to episode number 58 of the Sweet Science Podcast with your boy Fat Mouse. Who else we got in here?
I'm Cash with a K. I'm not C.
Good to see you, mate.
Good to see you too.
Why, thank you, sir.
Sue. Cash, I should do that next time.
Do it. Cash with a Sue. Sue.
Sue.
Yeah, man. Good weekend of... Just a good weekend. Do you get me? But boxing wise was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't much to talk about. There's one big fight in the UK which we had, and then a couple of announcements which we'll probably get to after. But
the announcements were tantalizing. Do we cover them first, or should we talk about them after? Let's go straight into the boxing. Wembley Arena.
Yep.
London, England. This side of the river. Good fight between Artur Beterbiev, who was the champion defending his titles, versus Anthony Yard, who was coming for those titles. Second attempt against another Russian.
Lions in the camp.
Is he Russian? I think so, isn't it?
I think
like he's one of them Russian from Anyway, I'm not.
But he represents Canada as well.
Yes, exactly. He's now become Canadian, and he represents Canada. WBC.
Yeah, WBC, WBO and IBF light heavyweight titles were all on the line. And as Mouse said earlier, Anthony Yard was making his second attempt at doing the impossible. And clearly, he put up a great fight. We actually had better than I expected, really.
A lot better. Yeah. A lot better than I expected. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to say I was yawning. But before the fight, I was like, we just know how it's going to end. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be a dead fight.
You weren't giving Yard a chance.
I didn't give him a chance, unfortunately. And I was also thinking each round I was almost in denial. So whilst I'm seeing that he's actually not doing terribly, at the same time, I'm like, come on, man, just hurry up and get knocked out. Do you get me? I was so like, I had these spectacles on.
Yeah.
By which I can only see him losing, which is sad because, and you know what didn't help? It was quite busy and noisy where we were. So I couldn't really, man's got ADHD in it, I couldn't really focus on the fight too much. And for that reason, I was just like, just hurry up and get knocked out so that we can just end the noise, innit? So it's really bad, but what a fight. Oh. Like now that I'm soaking it in and I'm, you know, like, what a good fight. It was a very, very good fight. I think Top Rank said, oh, it could be fight of the year 2023. Absolutely not. Absolutely
you don't
not.
You think so?
Nah, come on, man.
That was a good fight.
You're talking about a first Top Rank fight.
But you've got to look at it in context. You've got someone with literally no, well, practically no amateur experience or very minimal, even in the pro ranks as well, going up against basically a monster, a Loch Ness monster. You know, the chupacabra is back.
The mythical
creature that, you know, is unstoppable. He's walking through everybody, kind of this Gennady Golovkin air about him, you know?
Yeah.
Battering ram, you know? Before the fight, 18 wins, 18 knockouts. Literally just
imagine,
scary.
That's a big,
just, and, you know, he doesn't talk much, just goes through his opponents. He fights in the ring, does his talking in the ring. And then you've got Yard, who's, you know, had two losses. One against Kovalev, and then the you know, the one against Lyndon Arthur, which he did avenge and avenged in dramatic style, dramatic fashion. But you know, again, is he ready for it? Has he really fought the level to jump straight into
Beterbiev? This is exactly why I didn't give him a chance. I did not. He got written off by everybody.
What were you saying the odds were at the time? Like, at one
Brav, point? William Hill. I only see this on Instagram. I'm not a betting man, but William Hill had it 100-1. Something like that. 100-1, 100. Let me check it. I've screenshotted it because I wanted to put it up, but let's see.
That's crazy.
But 200-1.
That's insane.
200
just to win.
To one. Yard to win.
That is crazy. That's wild. What I'm saying. That's how much of an underdog he was going into this fight. And then I kept saying to Mouse, you know, I feel like he needs a bit more credit because he's better than what he's shown, which is a weird thing to do. You know, a lot of fighters won't see it. A lot of people won't see it. But I feel like he's got gears in him which he doesn't, you know, he kind of coasts through a lot of fights. And I feel like if he puts his hands together and throws his shots, he can put pressure on people. And you never know, like if you hurt someone, you never know. He does it quite often, empty out the tank and then try and get them out of there. But when you come up against elite fighters like Kovalev, like Berdibiev, unfortunately, and again, unfortunately in this case, the result was Artur Berdibiev got a stoppage, TKO, in round 8. Valiant effort from Yard, but, you know, he got hurt. I think they were both throwing a shot. I think they were both throwing the right hands at the same time, from what I remember. Berdibiev connected first, shook Yard's whole head back sideways, was already sort of wobbling, going down. Another hook to the back of the head, kind of went down, got back up on 9 or 8. Kind of a slow count, but got himself up, gathered himself, and then Berdibiev just put it on him again. And bad stoppage?
Do you know what? Yeah, that's, I was going to say there's a lot to unpack. Yeah. Mm. Let's talk about the actual decision and the stoppage, and then I want to just go back to his performance. Yeah. 110% early stoppage. His corner let him down. This is his second attempt at a title. Yeah. This happens way too often. I don't care about, oh, your corner knows what's best for you. Unfortunately not. This is your second attempt at a title. The first time you lost it, you almost won. You almost won it. You kind of just didn't let go completely and just, you know, fall into the moment and you know, seize it. Yeah. But that one must have burnt you. Yeah. And lessons must have been learned from that. Now you're going into the second attempt and you had to do a lot to get there. You had to do a lot to get there. Yeah. Again, like you said, almost an unachievable task. Yeah. And they stopped it. So he got knocked down. He took his time getting up. He bought himself some time. He went to lean on the ropes in the corner. He's give himself a minute to, you know, recover. And this is at 9, you know, ref's not getting to 10. He's like at 9 and he's leaning on the ropes. He goes, walk to me, and he's just acting like, yeah, I'm fine. He's biding time. He's just making sure that he's ready to go back in there. And then as soon as they engage again, he probably lands one or two shots. Berdibiev lands one or two shots. And then they throw in the towel. And he was like, I thought, what's the ref stopping it for? The towel wasn't even thrown in. I think he hesitated. I legit think whoever threw it in, you sure it was Tunde?
It was Tunde, yeah.
Tunde threw in the towel. It looked like, I didn't see him throwing the towel, but I saw where the towel landed. The towel, when you throw it in, yeah? This guy just dropped it, the towel, like that, innit? Like a tea bag in the bin, yeah? So he must have changed his mind. He's like, maybe not. But he slipped out of his hands, yeah? Too sweaty late. Palms. And now that's it. It was too soon. Too soon. And he was so fuming. And credit to Anthony Yard for his composure, his sportsmanship. He was a gentleman. Honestly, yeah? Because, like I said, I wasn't really singing his praises, but now I must. He took that poor, poor, career-defining decision, potentially, yeah? Like an absolute gent. And I really, really respect that, because I would have been fuming. Mm. You know, most people would have been seething, like, what are you doing? But he just, all right, cool. He's fuming. You can see he's angry, but he's not saying anything.
As you're saying it, I'm playing it back, and I'm just getting annoyed thinking about it.
100%.
I have to say, if Anthony Yard, this is a message to Anthony Yard, if you want to succeed further in your career, you want to be a world champion, you have to leave Tunde Ajayi. I don't know Tunde personally, but from what I've seen, I've got no hatred towards him. I genuinely don't care what he does and, you know, who he trains and how he goes on about his career. But for the best of Anthony Yard's career, you know, to succeed and do what he needs to do, achieve this, the heights which he set out for himself, not with Tunde Ajayi, you won't get it. That's just my opinion. I may be completely wrong. You might come out in the next fight, you know, and win a world title. I'm just saying, but it's not going to happen. I just think
if he gets a title and he gets all the success he's after, it won't be because of Tunde. Don't say he might get it. Do you understand what I mean? Like you said, oh, he might get it. So, you know, you never know. Nah, if he gets that, it won't be because of Tunde's input. Mm. Does that make sense? Because legit, that was sabotage. after sabotage. I can't even reel off the top of my head. You know, different instances. I know you're better at this than I am, but that there was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What in the world are you doing? You honestly need to get rid of him. And I know the word's not stubborn. You're loyal.
No, they
come.
They love each other. Yeah, they love each other. They got an unbreakable bond. No, it's true though. Yeah, I know you get frustrated, but imagine growing up with someone your whole life. I get it.
It's difficult.
It's different in sport. You need to make decisions which sometimes can cause a bit of friction, can hurt people, but you have to do it for the best of your career. It's longevity in the end of the day. You don't want to be getting hit in the head too many times. You don't want to be getting punched. You don't want to stay in the game too long. You want to achieve your goals, make money and get out as soon as you can. Yeah. Ride off into the sunset. With Tunde, he is not going to achieve these things, in my humble opinion. I just can't see it happening. I watched the Kovalev fight live. I watched the input that he was giving and it was just so, so basic. You're fighting an elite killer at the time.
You're fighting the crusher.
You're fighting someone who's been in there with Andre Ward, who's been in there with some of the best fighters of all time and beaten some of them. I think he was number two at one point. But you get what I'm trying to say is you're fighting somebody and you're giving terrible advice at times. Terrible advice. At some points, you're not even giving any. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, you know, I don't know what the corner advice was for this fight, but he came out brilliant. He fought a brilliant fight. It was a good, close, competitive fight. He learned from the Kovalev fight.
I don't want to say it was close.
I think it was.
I can't agree with you that it was close.
I think he made
a very good account of himself.
100%. But this is why I think it was close. I think Berdabiev landed the harder shots.
Mm-hmm.
I think Yard looked the more active. According to CompuBox, it was very close anyway. But Yard, a lot of punches that Yard was getting hit with, he was riding, he was catching. Yeah, he got hit with a lot of jabs. A lot of jabs were connecting. But again, a lot of shots he was riding. It was a very good account of himself. I think he did himself very proud. You know what I mean? You can't take away from anything 100%, away from him. 100%. But the stoppage was diabolical, bro. It was terrible. It was the worst time. It was the worst point to do it. He had just gone down for the second time and he didn't look really hurt. It was more so...
He didn't even go down, I don't think. He kind of did.
I don't know if he fully went down.
He was folded over, he was doubled up, but I don't think he was... No gloves were on the
Regardless of what it was, it was just a terrible stoppage. Yeah, he might have been stunned. He might have been a bit hurt. Bro, you give him the benefit of the doubt. Lions in the camp. You say lions in the camp all the time. You live by that. You die by that. And you didn't allow him. I'm not saying you wanted him to die. I'm not saying that either. I don't want anything crazy to happen. Yeah. But... it's not like he was being whitewashed. It wasn't 8-0. He wasn't getting destroyed. Time of the stoppage, he was up on two of the judges' scorecards. Imagine he had got through that 8th round, got to 9, survived 10, got to 11, won 11 and 12. He would have won the fight.
I mean, that's another thing to unpack, because he was not ahead on, he shouldn't have been ahead on anyone's scorecard.
Yeah, he wasn't.
But, that is what it is. Sorry. That is what it is, isn't it? He shouldn't be ahead on the scorecard, but it doesn't matter anymore. Now, Berdabiev knows he had to do it emphatically. Unfortunately, that's probably not even satisfying for him. He even said, in fact, in the interview, that if I did it again, if I do this fight again, I have to do better. And I know I will do better and I can do better. Do you get me? So, again, that's not to discredit Yard, because what heart? What a heart.
He got hit with good shots.
Punches he took, those shots that he took, he is resilient. But again,
listen,
stoppage, man.
I know you're not a big fan of the slogans and the lions in the camp.
I hate it, blood. I hate it.
But when I say he lives by that,
yeah,
he does. He genuinely, he's getting hit with shots. He's throwing shots and he's hitting his hands on his chest.
Hands in the camp,
and it might not, it's not for everyone. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but it works
for
him.
No, if it does it for him, then that's absolutely fine. I do find it corny. I do find it cheesy. But if it works for you, it works for you. Now, that's what I'm not going to take away from him. But at the same time, whatever possessed you, Tunde, to do that, what an absolute mistake. What a sorry evening it will be, or it was, after that fight. You know, like, That journey home must be awkward.
I know, man. You hit the nail on the head, because when you were looking at Yard, the first thing you said was, and you said it earlier, he must be fuming. No, he is fuming, whatever you said.
He was, you could see.
And you could see, like, he was biting his tongue.
Bro, he was cowering even whilst they were, like, announcing, not when they announced the winner, but, like, when they're standing in the ring. He was just cowering away. He was looking down at the floor. Everything was weird. He knew he messed up. But, like, that is, you are meant to take it to the 11th hour. You're meant to take it to the 11th hour with your fighter before he gets seriously injured, right? And there was no risk of him getting injured. If he got knocked down again, then you can start to, okay, assess the situation. That's two knockdowns right after the other. He's seriously hurt. He's not going to recover. Yeah? But this was, what, 2 minutes and a second? So he had another minute. Give him that 1 minute.
Not even a knockdown. If he would, like, you can be knocked down and get up and be fine.
Yeah.
You can be off balance, you know, when you're getting bum rushed by someone. Someone's trying to finish you. Pause. You could. Yeah. You could get, you know, thrown over, fallen over, whatever. It might look like a knockdown, but you're not hurt. If he was serious, I get it. You're brethren's for life, you're friends for life, you're basically family. So you don't want to see the other guy getting hurt. You don't want to see your guy getting hurt. Of course not. That's what you're there for, as the trainer.
Yeah.
But you have to look at the context of it. It's the second world title fight. He's not going to get a world title fight anytime soon. Because now, Berta Biev will either defend against someone else or look to wait to fight the winner of Bivol. If they do the Canelo rematch. But, you know, that. And it's another year or two of waiting for another world title fight. You know, if you had won...
All he's been doing is waiting as well.
That's what I'm saying. And if you win this fight... I'm not saying that you would have survived the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, whatever. But hypothetically, if he had managed to get through that round and coasted and managed to survive and, you know, got on his bike and danced and moved and boxed and whatever.
What a disruption that would have been.
But that's what I'm saying. You would have won 3 of the 4 belts. You could have gone on to fight Bivol next. You could have said, I want Canelo. Super fight. Super fight. Then go,
such
whatever
a slip.
Happens.
Such a slip. Like, the more detail we go into, the more, like, stupid that decision seems.
The point I was going to make is, and I got distracted by it because I was thinking about all the outcomes that could have happened from him winning, is you weren't seriously hurt. You managed to recover. He'd been hit with harder shots in the fight before the stoppage. Yeah. He got up, he composed himself. Yeah, he might have been wobbled a little bit, but it wasn't on the point of no return, in my opinion. A lot of the shots when he was getting hit and he was getting stunned and he was in the corner, he was fighting back.
Yeah.
He was throwing shots back, and Berta Biev is a beast. He's a killer. 19-0 now with 19 knockouts. You know, the guys at ringside on Twitter were saying they can hear his punches. They're vicious.
Wow.
Someone tweeted, I can feel his right hand.
That's crazy.
It's scary. Mm. So, you know what I mean? It wasn't at the point. Huh?
He's a southpaw as well.
No, he's not.
Where am I getting that from? He's not a southpaw. He's Orthodox. Yeah, he's Orthodox. Sorry, you can't feel his right. Hey, sorry.
I won again. That was the podcast, guys. That was episode 58.
All right, I'm done. I'm going to have to leave now.
Leave. Get out.
But yeah,
pack your bags.
Yeah. Oh, man. That fight there.
It was sad, man. Because, Mouse, you said it as well, bro. You said to me, I don't want it to go 12 rounds. But I feel like if it went 12, the way it ended,
it's not satisfying for anybody.
That's what I'm saying. Not for no one.
It's not satisfying for anybody.
Like, even if it went 12 rounds, and you know, Berta Biev won on points in the end, you know, I get some solace from it, and so does Yard. It's not what we want to see.
Yeah.
But he deserved to at least
100%
get to the end of that fight. The way those 8 rounds went.
Again, in the moment, I said, he's not going to win anyway. But you have to. It's not about to save your boxer. At that point there, you have to let him know that, yeah, we did it for your health and your safety. That wasn't for health and safety. That was just a panic.
Yeah, yeah. Me? Yes.
And it's so anticlimactic. And it's so, for both people, because, not Bivol, Berta Biev is thinking, blood, I'm just getting to work. I smell blood. Like, let me, you know, you can't give me the blood and then withdraw it from me, you know?
Let me finish.
And then Yard is saying, listen, I'm hurt, but I'm fine. Like, I'm holding on. I've got 59 seconds. I can ride this. Just give me to the end of the round, and then let's see what happens in round 9.
Exactly. Now he was hurt.
What a letdown!
He was hurt.
Of course, he was hurt, but he could have. Oh, hurt like emotionally. Yeah.
Yeah, emotionally. I'm saying. Yeah. He was hurt. He was upset by that, man. You could
tell.
He was defeated.
I didn't see him winning the fight. Like, I never thought he would win. I never thought he had much of a chance at all. And I was like, that should have continued. I was so fuming. But yeah, man. I mean. We can dwell on this for the whole flipping episode. But yeah, what a letdown. Tunde, you let yourself down, you let your boy down, you let your team down, and you let your country down, unfortunately. You really, really need to consider your position or your decisions. Because that was terrible. That was absolutely terrible.
I think...
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think there comes a point when loyalty has to be thrown out the window at times. Because, listen, at the end of the day, it's a selfish sport. Yeah. Your brain is being smashed in. It's your life on the line at the end of the day. Mm. And if you haven't got the right people in there making the correct decisions at crucial moments, it's about crucial moments. It's about the moments that count. It's the most important moments. Maybe that last 10 seconds before you go out for that ninth round where you need that push, you need the right advice, slip that punch, throw that. And if you do not have that right person in there, it will cost you. Might not happen straight away, but eventually it will catch up to you. You need an elite mind behind an elite fighter.
Bro, you need the right chemistry. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They might be tight, they might be good friends, they might be whatever. But they don't. If you don't believe in your guy, do you understand? Like, look at Leon, for example. It's a random example, but Leon Edwards, his fight, right? And his trainer. And that kind of, you know, connection that they have, yeah? Leon, you need to turn it around. Why did I put on the Brahma accent? Leon, you need to turn it around. Do you understand? Like, there's a completely different approach. You have to let your guy, you know what he's capable of. Unless we find out later that Yard had, you know, he got knocked out in sparring, for example, and they were worried for his head, something like that. Okay, cool, I'd understand that. Mm. Or there was some sort of underlying issue that didn't want to expose.
The eye or something.
Yeah, they didn't want to expose, maybe we didn't know, but he couldn't see out of the eye. Something like this. Then, okay, I'll understand, and I'd be like, okay, that was a good move. But if it's just you were worried for your guy, that was sabotage, man. That was sabotage. They must have betted on flipping Artur Beterbiev, man. I can't pronounce his name.
It wasn't that.
But another thing you said. So, yes, a great account was made for himself, right, by Yard. But really, I don't think you can say that was a very good performance, a very good fight. But you said activity. He was more active. I disagree with that. I think every time Anthony Yard had a moment.
No, I didn't say he was more active. I said he looked more active.
Okay.
So that's why I think he was winning on the card.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
He was moving a bit more. You know, he's doing that. You know, but BF just very hands up, coming forward, walk you down, whereas Yard down hands.
The round.
Couple body shots in here, uppercuts. Yeah. You know, they might have been missing.
Yeah.
But he looked more active.
The round where.
And that was his downfall against Kovalev.
Yes, exactly. You know?
If you're not throwing, look active, because if you're trying to get to the cards, which you were trying at certain points, you can steal it. You're in Russia, get away with it, hit and run, go. Just try. But yeah, sorry, go on, you were saying?
I don't know what I said. Yeah, the time that Beterbiev got not knocked down, he got rocked. Round five. Yeah, thank you. Round five. You see his legs go for a second, and he just looks, he's in danger. Mm. What did he do? Even that round there, that would have been Yard's best round. He turned it around at the end. Last 30 seconds, all I need. Bam, bam. Every angle. Just even if they were not even that powerful, it was the number of shots landing at will, because he couldn't stop them. Right through the middle, between the gloves, everywhere. Bro, come on, man.
And we kept saying, get away from the ropes. It was a landslide.
He lived on the ropes. In one round, he touched three corners of the ring. In one round, he was in three corners. He was trapped. As soon as he's on the ring, on the ropes, he's trapped. As soon as he commands the center of the ring, it's different. It appears like he's in more control. Artur Beterbiev was reluctant to engage, or less excited to get involved. You understand? Mm. To get engaged. But when he's against the ring, I don't know what he's trying to do, but Artur Beterbiev was just raining down on him. And if you think you're doing rope-a-dope, if you're not getting caught, or you're like Tyson Fury, nah, it didn't work. You were getting battered. You were getting battered. And then corners, in the corner, you're getting murked. You have nowhere to go. You were just lost. And then you went from one corner directly to another. And then another. You visited three corners. What are you doing?
I think even though it might have been you know, in the moment it was wrong because he was getting hit with a lot of shots. I think it was part of his plan though, because I do believe, listen,
to get back from pillar to post.
Obviously not, but what I'm saying is I think it's like what Canelo tends to do. I'm not saying he's Canelo's level, but it's that thing where you feel comfortable in uncomfortable situations.
Defensively, listen, Canelo can even make it look like everything's missing.
I get it, but I think for this fight in particular,
these were all landing.
I think he thought he's much faster and he'll be able to catch him on the counter.
First round, when he's coming in, he started off, I was like, wow, there's a big difference in speed. This is first round. Second round, that started to wane straight away. That started to wear off. Mm. You get me? Like, that difference in speed did not benefit you because he was just bullying you. There's no need for speed when you're in the corner. Mm, exactly. And you're stuck there. There's no need for speed because you just see them coming. You're going to get banged.
You see the foot speed is different, of course. Berdyaev is not the fastest guy, but he's very intelligent. So he cuts off the ring. He doesn't need the speed. The thing about him is his deceptively quick hands. Yeah. So when he's in the corner, he's throwing a lot of shots at you. They're coming from different angles and they're coming quite fast. Yeah. Yard was stuck. But there were points in those moments, even in those moments when he was getting hit, he was getting rocked, he's trying to throw back and he's trying to engage. And I think that's what it was. He was waiting. Some of them were hitting him. Some of them he's getting hurt with. But in general, I feel like he felt comfortable in certain situations. Not all of them, because there were certain points when he was in the corners, especially later on towards the end of the fight, where he was literally just huffing and puffing and trying. He couldn't even move. I get what you were saying. Yeah. But I feel like it might have been a tactic to try and employ some sort of, you know, defense mechanism and then just try and counter him and then get him out of there, I guess we're talking too much about Yard and we're not giving enough credit to Artur to be
that's very true.
Elite, intelligent, former Olympian. So you have to understand, this guy's got the pedigree. He knows what he's doing when he's in there. Got hurt, shrugged it off. Cool.
He was composed. And but also
never
so
panicked.
Yard. So was Yard.
Never panicked.
He wasn't panicking, and at least he didn't show panic, but he did. He had his moments, but
both,
man.
Both
it was a good fight, man. It was a very good fight.
Both had very good poker faces on throughout the fight.
Yeah.
Even though they might have been hurt, might have been rocked, might have been getting tired, it was bite down on the gum shield.
They were both, you know,
battered and bruised and cut. It was a good, very good fight. And Artur Berdyaev now he's still undefeated. Keeps his streak going to 19
fights, 19 wins, 19 KOs, essentially.
Are we going to get the Bivol fight? That's what we want. Undisputed.
Wow.
Undisputed. All four belts on the line.
He said, I'm just going to do my job. He was asked, what are you going to do next? He goes, I'm going to do my job. And she goes, Bivol? She said, he goes, that will make my job good job. You know, that'll be a better job. So obviously he wants that, innit?
Do you think he beats him?
I think this is what I think about Bivol. I think he's got all the fundamentals down to a T. Okay. He's a bit quicker. He's a little bit, he moves around a bit lighter and better. Does that make, am I making sense?
Yep. No, I agree with that.
And this, the fundamentals are there. Now, this is not to say that they only have fundamentals, because they have more than that. Mm. But what I'm saying is for me, the one with more sound fundamentals, they're both as strong as each other, essentially, as powerful as each other. Yeah?
I don't think so.
You think Bivol's less powerful? Or more powerful?
I think Berdyaev is more powerful.
Power.
Yeah, definitely. Bivol's not a knockout artist. Bivol is, I see this as being output versus power. And I don't mean it in terms of Berdyaev's power like Wilder, where he can't rely on boxing. He can still do that.
Yeah.
Berdyaev is more of a Golovkin to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bivol is more of a Canelo in this situation, where he's going to try and outbox you, he's going to move, and he's going to put his punches together. Yeah, and try and break you down.
I don't see him getting broken down. Look, when Yard was throwing in punches, the biggest, and I mentioned this again whilst we were watching live, right? Let's say he gets a punch that lands here, that automatically makes your head twist hard. He was like doing a 45 degree twist, and then the neck muscles were engaging, rah, coming straight back.
Like,
I know that
zombie.
Sounds random, but it was just like
zombies.
Nah, I'm not even going to fully. Yeah, it was like, nah, these muscles are too strong for that to happen, mate. Mm. I'm ready for this. He's very resilient. He can take a punch, but they both can.
I believe Bivol beats Berdyaev when they do face each other. I think I've watched Bivol for a long time now. And I think the Canelo fight was completely... And I'm Canelo's number one fan in the whole wide world.
Yeah, you are.
In the whole universe. I'm the biggest Canelo fan.
Around.
But I just couldn't see how Canelo could win that fight. Yeah. It was just a... I rate him for taking that fight, but Bivol is elite and has the size on you.
Yeah.
With Berdabiev, both natural light heavyweights, both strong, both fundamentally sound, both elite in their own way, both elite fighters.
Yeah.
But I just think the movement, the speed... the combination punching, and eventually the IQ in the later rounds, because Bivol goes 12 rounds more often.
Yeah.
I think if he gets Berdabiev in certain situations where he's uncomfortable, he will be able to use that to his benefit.
So I think, right, this is when we're going to see them both at their very best. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go in with, when you know, a top level fighter goes in with a lesser level fighter, it's a bit of a shit show sometimes. Yeah, it's a bit messy. Mm-hmm. You get dragged into their level and it's not great. This is, you're gonna have the cream of the crop on both sides, and it's not Canelo Bivol. It's very different because, like you said, Canelo didn't have a way out. Unfortunately, he didn't have a way out. Okay, I don't know if I think excuses were made and he did this in training, or he was injured, he had a stomach ache or something in it. But this fight here is just two very strong, very durable, very tough men with different approaches to the fight. One wants to just carry on his knockout streak and take you out. Well, the other, like you said, he'll break you down. And I don't think it will see. Oh my gosh, do I think it will see the finish line? Do I think it will see? I don't know, man.
Yeah,
because if you're saying Bivol wins, I think Bivol wins by breaking him down.
I think he wins on points. I think Bivol outpoints him. I think he's too fast. I think Berdabiev gets hit too much. I'm not taking anything away from Berdabiev. I think he's amazing.
Do we see this fight this year?
I don't think it will happen this year. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but I've got a feeling that Canelo might come back into the picture. I don't think he should for his own career.
He'll come down for that.
I don't even mind seeing Bivol go down to 168 and fight him for the belts. Why not?
Give him a bit
more of a chance.
For which belts? For the 168 belts?
Yeah, for Canelo's belts, yeah.
Wow. Well, obviously, he's not going to flip and come down and then fight.
And defend his light heavyweight at 168. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Canelo's. Silly question. Yeah. Mad.
Great fight, though.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Obviously, if it does get announced or they do discuss it, we might break it. We'll break it down for sure. But
commiserations, Mr. Yard. Commiserations.
Bro, you put up a great effort. You didn't do yourself any harm.
Yeah.
Tunde did you harm. Sack him.
100%.
You're getting sacked in the morning. Sacked in the morning. I'm joking.
He's not getting sacked, but that's the problem. They need to have a serious conversation. They need to 100. Have a very serious conversation. I mean, that's it for the boxing, really.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic stuff. I'm not going to lie, it was a very good fight. Yeah,
but it's not actually that it for the boxing, because in attendance,
attendance,
we had the greatest fighter of all time, the YouTube sensation,
the greatest YouTuber,
the GOAT. We had the greatest YouTube fighting superstar, actor, rapper, dancer, philanthropist. I'm making it all
okay,
up.
Okay, I'm thinking.
We had Jake Paul in attendance.
Yes.
To go face to face, head to head with the one, the only Tommy
TNT.
Fury.
TNT.
TNT. We had TNT in the building as well. We had the Furies in the building. Tyson was there. But yeah, Tommy Fury and Jake Paul got together head to head, face to face for the first time to officially
announce.
Oh, it had already been announced, didn't it?
Yeah,
but officially,
to make it official.
I was hoping you jumped in because I blanked. Sorry.
I was like, what's going on here? I thought you were trying to make it dramatic. I was like, it's no longer dramatic. It's just dead now.
No.
To make it official.
Yeah.
When is it? 3 weeks away?
February 26th, live in Wembley. 26th.
Oh, that's a month away. That's a month.
In a month. February 26th, live in London in Wembley.
It's
in Saudi.
What are you on about? I was thinking.
I've lost the plot now.
Because of the interview that we was watching with Gareth Davis. In Saudi Arabia, Diriyah.
It's in Riyadh, isn't it?
It's in Riyadh, yeah. It's, well, they call it Diriyah, but I think it's just part of Riyadh, basically.
Yeah.
The capital. Boy, that fight there. Unfortunately, Fury's going to have to change his name to Fumbles. I just think we have to just go ahead and drop that, man.
Excuse me? I'm very... What does that mean?
I mean, I don't know what what's on the line this time around, but he's got a child. He's you know, he's going to get a little pension pot, but that's about it.
I don't understand. What are you saying?
Jake Paul's going to batter him.
What are you talking about, bro? Are you right?
What road to victory or what keys to success, yeah, does Tommy Fury have that we know of?
He's going to outbox him. You're telling me that Jake Paul's going to beat Tommy Fury? You genuinely believe that?
I want to make the same prediction that Jake Paul made. And he's not going to go past three rounds. How many rounds is it?
Probably eight or ten. Or, yeah. I hope it's 12.
I don't think it's even going to be 10. Has he ever been in a 10-rounder?
You genuinely think
I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I would love to say Tommy Fury can take that, but he's been a joke, man. And you know what? Ask me a year ago,
okay,
I would have said Jake Paul's got no chance. I don't like the guy. He's not going to win. He's a fake. The guy is a legit, bona fide boxer, and he's going to ruin Tommy Fury. He's going to ruin him, Bev.
That's a bold statement to make.
Unfortunately, it's just how it's going to go, mate. You've got to be realistic, bruv.
I'm not a fan of Tommy Fury's antics out the ring sometimes.
I don't mind him. And I think he's a little bit stiff.
No, he's a bit weird. He does some weird stuff, you know. He's always walking around topless and in clubs and that, doing that weird, that video that was... Anyway, regardless of that, he's a bit of a madman, whatever. TV personality, does it. I don't really mind it. It's just, I find him strange at times. But I find Jake Paul strange at times. They're both strange people.
Obviously.
Strangers. But doesn't take away from the fact that Jake Paul has never fought a boxer. Never.
Alright.
And I'm not saying that Tommy Fury's resume is any better. He hasn't fought any. He's probably fought everybody with losing records or whatever. I don't even know who he's fought. Jake's fought better athletes, better fighters, but,
yes, but
there's
boxers,
a difference in boxing. 100%, 100%, and I don't think he's good enough at this moment to beat Tommy Fury in a boxing match. Unless he clocks him clean and sparks him out and Tommy doesn't have a chin or whatever.
Which is going to happen. That's fine.
Huh?
That's what's going to happen. But,
you crazy.
Okay, I'm going to make a few more statements, right?
Go on.
And I want you to link them together.
Please do.
Okay? Jake Paul has not fought a boxer. Yeah? He hasn't boxed against a boxer ever. Okay? But he has trained as a boxer to box these fighters. Make sense? You with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
How many fights he had? Six. And my man had eight. Okay? Six fights. He's trained as a boxer every single time. He's trained to box a fighter. And he hasn't fought a boxer. I'm confusing people, I know, but stay with me. The people that he's fought, no, he's just boxed. He's trained. However, it's what, 3 years he's been doing it for? Almost 3 years. He said it two years and what, 364 days.
Yeah.
Yeah? Something like that. Very close to 3 years of this.
By the time this comes out, it'll be 3 years.
Pretty much.
And a day.
Is it? Well, it's not going to come out in 2 years. What are you on about, bro? Oh, bloody hell. Yeah, it might do.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It'll be 3 years and a day.
He's been training. He's been boxing for 3 years. Every fight he has, he trains to box. He's ready to box. So because he hasn't fought a boxer does not mean he hasn't boxed. Understood? Because he hasn't trained he hasn't fought a boxer doesn't mean he hasn't boxed and doesn't mean he hasn't trained legitimately to box. You've seen his performances with Silva, with Tyron Woodley twice. Ben Askren, cool. Everyone can say that was minor, whatever, innit? But let's look at the other three. Tyron Woodley twice, striker in the UFC. I would have given him the best chance to beat Jake Paul, and he had two opportunities, and he didn't succeed in any of them. Anderson Silva, all right, cool, 570 or whatever. It doesn't matter how old he is. The fact that how he looked against Anderson Silva, again, tells you he's ready for this. It tells you he's a boxer. So now jump in with Tommy Fury. He's never seen that level of spectacle on him, that level of spotlight on him, that level of that caliber of fighter. Jake Paul would batter anyone he's fought so far. Anyone that Tommy Fury's fought, Jake Paul would batter them. Okay? So did Tommy Fury. I understand. Bro, they don't even respect him in the Fury family. They don't respect him. They went out partying. He wasn't allowed to go. Tyson Fury called him a YouTube boxer. His own brother called him a YouTube boxer. And this is his job. This is his career. This is what he does. And you're calling him a YouTube boxer. He's not ready, man.
But that's the difference. He's a YouTube boxer. He's not MMA. He's not UFC. Bruv, he's not a wrestler.
Bruv, we've got a
he's
month. Not a grappler. We've got a month.
Listen.
Just hold that dead thought of yours till 1 month. And then we'll come back to this. And you're going to eat your words, Rubio.
I don't mind. I don't mind eating him. I'm going to take him in. I'm going to eat him in. I'm going to just everything. Give me it. I don't mind. I'll take it. I'll take my humble pie very happily if it happens. But I just cannot see Jake Paul beating Tommy Fury. Call me deluded. Call me crazy. Call me stupid. I've had it before. I said, Arsenal's going to win the league. What's going to happen? But how can you tell me, based on him beating Anderson Silva, and you said he looked good. No, he didn't.
Anderson Silva
didn't look good.
Beat, what's his name, Junior?
Okay, he beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I could have beat him.
Maybe, but
there you go.
But again,
Jake Paul would have beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
100%.
Okay, it's a sick win. That's amazing. But you got to understand, bro. Being fighting, training for boxers is different from fighting boxers. Do you get what I'm saying? 100%. At least Tommy Fury has fought guys. Maybe they're cans. Maybe they're tomatoes, potato, patata, tomato, taxi drivers, as Jake Paul said. Yeah. But they are professionally trained boxes.
I understand, but so is Jake Paul. Yeah, but now Jake Paul
he's fought no one. He's fought MMA guys.
I'm trying to okay. Again,
it's a big difference. You know this better than anybody.
Or another statement that you know this better than me.
I got sucked into that Tyron Woodley knockout artist MMA. He got in there. He looks like a. I don't even say it.
He didn't look great.
You're not boxers. You're not.
Is it cooked? What you're gonna say?
Yeah. You're
yeah. He didn't look great. He didn't look great. But,
and don't get it twisted, Jake Paul's this is the crazy thing. Jake Paul's resume is better than Tommy Fury's, and he's fought no boxers. I like Jake Paul. I rate him. I like what he's doing. To come from absolutely no boxing background to be in the game for 3 years, create the hype he's already created, fight the guys he's fought. They're not boxers. Yeah, I get that. I'm not taking anything away from him. Guys move slower. Like you're seeing it in Tommy Fury. He's fighting absolute bums, But what I'm trying to say is he's fighting boxers, and I think it's a big difference. And this whole thing, Tommy's never been at this level, this stage, this. Bro, he's an influencer. He doesn't care. He's been on Love Island. I'm not saying Love Island and boxing is the same thing. Don't get me. I'm just saying he's in the spotlight all the time. He paparazzi is following him all the time. He's always in the spotlight.
It's a different feeling, bro.
Bro, he's been in and around it his whole life. He's been there with Tyson. It's like,
that's true.
You know, it's like Eubank, it's like Ben and that. They don't feel this type of pressure because they've from childhood.
Yeah, they feel the pressure, but it's a different, they're used to it.
They can handle it. And I don't think Tommy's gonna fumble it or anything. I don't think he's gonna crack. I don't think he's gonna break. If he does, he does, and you know, right to Tyson, stay in Saudi, bro. Don't come back.
100%.
Because if you do lose to Jake Paul, especially the way you've been going on and talking, and I'm gonna smash your face, and I'm gonna
end your career.
It's a big, mad tears.
Boy, I mean, look, I'm gonna humbly respect your opinion. I am gonna say, Tommy Fury's got no chance. No chance.
What are you talking about, bro?
But it's fine. Because it's still a good fight. It's still a fight that I want to see.
I said no chance.
Yeah, unfortunately not, man. Unfortunately not. I'm. It's mad that I'm saying this because
we haven't even, bro. We haven't even seen Jake get rocked.
Exactly.
And what happens if he does? And he got no chin. He goes down. Okay, but
he could have got rocked by various other.
But they're not boxers. There's a difference.
Okay.
Anderson was the best. And Anderson, let me finish. Anderson was the best opponent he fought in terms of boxing. I don't think Tyron Woodley was. Tyron Woodley's just known to be a knockout artist. He can't box. Anderson can move, can hit, but he's 7,000 years old.
Do you give credit to sparring partners? Do you give credit to people who...
No.
Okay.
Do you know why?
All right.
Because we've seen it many, many times in the sport of boxing, sparring stories. I beat this guy in sparring. I did this to you in sparring. Yeah. I knocked him down. You get to the ring, crumble, fumble, finished. Khalas. We've seen it so many times. I've heard stories. I sparked him out in training. Yeah. They fought in the ring.
I'm not talking about. Oh, us two here saying I battered Cash in training.
No.
When I sparred him, I showed him, I schooled him. What are you lying, man? Show the tape. You ain't got the tape because, well, you know, I never touched the camera. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actually now he goes and spars with elite fighters.
I respect it. And I understand you get experience from those moments. You're being in there constantly. You're training. I get that. But I don't translate that into the real fight. I get guys.
That doesn't make sense to me. That's the whole point. The sparring is the closest thing to an actual fight that you will ever get.
Yeah, but it's a different experience. That's why you still gain experience.
Mitt work. I don't understand. I don't respect pad work.
Like, that's for like
a video. I don't respect that. I respect watching sparring.
I think they all have a part to play in the fight. But I'm just saying there's a different experience from, like, they're different experiences. Yeah, you understand how to move in certain situations. You're planting your feet in certain places. You're practicing, basically. But when you're in there with someone who wants to take your head off compared to a sparring partner who's getting paid
don't
for
get
a job.
Don't get twisted. Don't no, get you'll twisted. Get, you'll a lot get guys, of these guys coming with ego, bro.
Of course they will.
A lot of these guys coming with
Jake
ego.
And it's Jake, so he probably gets double the guys who want to just take his head off for some clout or something. I get that. But again, being in there with someone who really doesn't like you, has got personal vendetta, spite there, but I just think it's 100%. Different.
Look, it's gonna
I'm not
be
taking anything away from sparring. The guys he's sparred with and the guys I've seen him train with are elite fighters. Some very good fighters in their own right. But I'm just saying, it just, you know, I don't take too much from that, because I've seen some of the greatest boxers of all time tell us tales about sparring and what they've done and who they've been in there with. Fought people and crumble.
We have a month to find out what happens. We have a month to dwell on it. We have a month to look back at their fights. There's not many. There's, what, 14 between them? Yeah?
Yeah.
Something like that. It's absolutely fine. We'll be able to understand a little bit better. I stand by what I said. It's not going to change, I don't think. But I'm willing to look back at the tape again and see what is likely to happen.
I don't know, man. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be good regardless. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a crazy build up. I'm gonna enjoy it. Whoever wins. I'm not really fussed. It doesn't do anything for me, you know. But, you know, if Jake, it's more meaningful if Jake wins. If Jake wins, you know, it's a big coup. And it's just, you know,
he's shaking up boxing. His dreams of taking a legit title is very, very possible.
And don't get me wrong, he can win. I just don't think he will.
Don't get me wrong, he will win. I just think he can. You get it? But yeah, man. Interesting. Like I said, pretty much 30 days, 4 weeks away. Should be interesting.
It's going to be a cracker. Guys, it's going to be a cracker.
I believe this is it from your boys. I've been Fat Mouse. On the episode number 58 of the Sweet Science Podcast. Who else have we had here?
We've had Cash with a K, not a C.
Don't forget to like. Don't forget to comment. Do not forget to subscribe. Share it. Because this is the best podcast around. And we will see you lot next week. It's been fantastic. It was a good fight. It was a good evening. Good weekend. See you lot next week.
Take care.